This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Brent Fox.
It's your boy Jay Remy, Fat Woke Boys, Roast King of Cleveland, here to tell you about Akron's king of underground battle rap, Dallas Cash. Dallas Cash, rising artist with debut fire single out now. He's got over 115,000 total views on Verse Tracker, winning battle after battle from Ohio to Cali. You can find him on iTunes and Spotify under I Like Dallas Cash, on Twitter at I Like Dallas Cash, or his website, IHateDallasCash.com. He's a complicated man. Find out more about him now before you have to pay for everything.
That's Brent Fox.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we're back in the world of entertainment for some celeb-on-celeb violence. Joining us in studio is noted Star Trek actor and gay rights activist George Takei.
Hello, boys. I'm George Takei.
I can't believe we got him.
Look, I've been following him on Twitter for a long time.
Gentlemen, I've been following you both for quite some time as well. Not online, just following you around.
You know what? I was wondering about that, but I figured it was, you know, they were checking on my kung fu training for the movie that I'm producing.
Now, Mr. Shear, you do know that kung fu comes from China.
Not Japan. Like, even I knew that.
Oh.
You know what that is? It's a little racist, dude.
You know what? I apologize. All you people look alike to me. George, I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Are you talking about gay people? They all look... That's what you're talking
that's
about.
That's actually
it's all gay
what
people.
I was going yeah, to ask. Yeah, I was going to ask if you meant gay people. Do we all look the same to you, Jeremy?
Yes.
Okay. But you can distinctly tell the difference between Asians, though, correct?
No.
Fuck. I was trying to get him out of the racist thing, George. I'm sorry.
I would say it's okay, but it's not.
So what are we...
Where's the exit here? Where do I go? You seem to have trapped me inside this room.
Yeah, how did...
Why is there a thick pane of glass between me and you?
That I...
Is this so you won't attack me?
Probably.
I'm feeling very violent myself.
I would, too. I'd like to be the mediator here.
Have you ever seen any of my combat on Trek? That's what we call it. That's what we would call it on the set.
Space combat or just combat?
Well, there's two different forms. I'm glad you asked.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm glad.
Would you like to know the difference?
Yes, absolutely.
The difference between regular combat and space combat is that... Wait for it. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're both sitting down. Space combat occurs in space.
Oh, that's the difference.
Yes.
So it's kind of like Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man. She has a bow on her head.
Yes. There's a brilliant distinction between Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. I just wanted to make that distinction.
Okay,
well
I'm
glad. I wanted to reiterate what you said.
Well, George, I don't know if you know how the show works, though. I mean,
no, I don't.
Okay, well, the way we do it, we bring somebody on, they pick something they hate, and they talk about it. And we talk about it with them. We try to work through it with them. We try to work through it.
Oh, I see.
And sometimes it's therapeutic, sometimes it ends in violence.
There are plenty of things I hate, and one more thing, possibly, after talking to Jeremy for quite some time here now.
Yeah, I'm very hateable, but we're not doing an episode on me.
Not yet.
So, as I said to you in the DMs, George Takei, why do you hate William Shatner?
Oh, Bill.
Bow, bow, bow.
Oh, Bill Shatner. There are multiple reasons why I hate Bill, mostly because of our time on Star Trek on the set.
What kind of things did he do on the set that really made you angry?
There were some particular moments. Mostly his womanizing and his strutting around as if he was the main character. Like he was the captain of the ship or something.
Well, I read a rumor on Wikipedia, and you can hopefully shed a little light on this.
Please.
Is it true that you initially went out for the part of Captain James T. Kirk? Is that true?
And the rumor that you heard is indeed true. I did read for James Kirk.
Did you harbor resentment for him after, once he got it?
Well, here's what happened. Okay. We were both in the same hallway, waiting to be called in for auditions. And this gentleman, handsome man, with Canadian blonde hair, comes in and sits down next to me, and he starts lighting a cigarette. And I kindly turned to him and I said, "Please, I don't like cigarette smoke. Could you please smoke at another end of the hallway?" And he blew smoke directly into my face. And he said, "I don't like the way you look at me." But he said it like William Shatner. "I don't like the way you're looking at me." You know the way.
Yeah, it's
you
good, understand. That's a good Shatner.
So I go and I do my reading and I nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And I come out and I say, "Go home, all of you. I destroyed it. You have no need to stay." And everyone did, except for Bill Shatner.
Bill, yeah.
I go home. I have a nice tall glass of milk, like I do after every audition. And then I get a phone call, and it's just snickering on the other end of the line. And I go, "Who is this? Who are you?" And it's Bill Shatner laughing at me, saying that he got the part over me, and in fact, I would have to be serving under him in a different role. I was furious.
Now, was the part of... Now, not that I'm not a Star Trek fan. I happen to be a Star Wars fan more. I don't mean to offend you, George, but...
I'm in a room with strange individuals.
What was your character's name on Star Trek? It was...
Sulu.
Sulu, that's right.
Yes.
Was Sulu written for an Asian American, or was that written... No, I mean...
Well, all the parts were meant... You know the point of the show, of course. Show diversity in a time in which the world was being separated into groups, and there was a fear of Russians and the fear of foreign people from all over the world, and it was meant to show in the future we indeed join together, make a great, great global society, and we all get along. So it was meant that each part would be, yes, given to a certain race or...
Creed.
Or, yes.
But not the band Creed.
No.
Okay.
I am not familiar with the band Creed, actually.
I'm happy to know that about George Takei. What do you think?
I have another question.
Okay.
Please. I have very limited time.
I realize you're a busy man, but I have to know.
Actually,
for your big fencing scene in Star Trek...
Yes.
You know, the best instance of non-space combat that we can see in your world.
That was, yes, regular Earth combat. I had to train in both space and Earth combat for the show.
Well, this is more of your Earth combat milieu. How much oil did they have to put on your chest for you to glisten like that?
They actually painted it on me. They painted it on me with a broad brush. They just dipped it in oil and just... brushed me down. Yeah, it smelled like butter. It actually did. It smelled like butter. And under the lights of the studio, I was baking. I was baking. I had this large burn on my chest. It was riveting, though. It was a great scene. You saw it, of course.
Yeah, I was riveted. I was also wondering, you know, when you would be done. As you were just baking there.
Oh, fat boy wants to eat, huh? You fat cannibal.
You do seem like a very overweight young man. Were you an overweight young man watching Trek?
Indeed I was.
As are most fucking men who watch Trek.
I won't indulge in any sort of slander towards our fans.
Because you still do the Comic-Con circuit, right?
Of course. I go to Comic-Con, I sign everyone's skin and various other things that they want me to sign. A lot of people that dressed like me come up to me and want to talk like me, and I laugh at them.
All right, so I got a question for him.
Please.
Let's bring it back to Shatner. Does it bother you that his lines are longer at Comic-Con than yours?
They're actually not longer. He just talks like that. He just won't. He just extends every... Are you talking about the lines to meet him?
Yes, yeah,
okay, I was talking about the lines they give him. You do know that he is given lines.
Yeah.
He doesn't come up with this. He hasn't had a single original thought since the 60s.
Okay, so when you're talking to Bill Shatner, like, somebody wrote what he's already saying to him.
His entire life is scripted, actually.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense.
I went into his dressing room one time, and I picked up a large sheet of, 800-page sheet of, a stack of papers. Mm-hmm. And it was just words... It was like in script form, and it was written like a Star Trek episode. Like, he lives his life as if it is an extended Star Trek episode.
Okay.
And then I had a conversation with him later in the day, and it went exactly as these pieces of paper. It was very eerie. It was very frightening.
Okay.
He, in the instructions, I'm very concerned, because later in the script, I sat down and read the whole thing. I actually read about a page a second. I'm very quick. I read the entire thing in one sitting, and I'm very concerned because at the end of the script it said that he murdered 12 cats and then hid them in the walls. So if the other things came true, surely that must have came true.
I have a question then. When you slept at night, did you often hear kittens crying out for help?
I hear that during the day. In my nightmares, it just gets louder, so yes.
And that was Bill Shatner killed these cats.
I'm afraid so. I'm afraid that that's actually the case.
He buried them alive in the walls?
No, he specifically said he killed the cats.
A couple times.
Okay, I was unclear on that.
A couple times, some extras would be hanging out outside the set, and they would just smell something horrible, and they would just be pressing buttons and lighting up things on the set, and then suddenly they would, like, during a fight scene or something, they would break a wall or something, and they would reveal all these disgusting cat skeletons and cat fur and gross things that were going on in the goddamn
like
Bill Shatner hiding and killing these innocent little creatures into the walls of the set.
That's very disconcerting. I would classify that as a hostile work environment, and it does seem like that was all Bill Shatner. So he didn't have to murder those cats and put them in the walls.
I'm starting to understand why he hates Bill Shatner. I really am.
There's a lot of reasons to hate Bill Shatner. Did you know that he actually offered to take his grandmother to a nice restaurant for her birthday, and instead he rolled her into traffic and then laughed as she was struck by a bus?
That's terrible.
That's awful.
It was especially bad because she was in a wheelchair, so she couldn't roll her way out of the way of the bus. And the bus was also driven by Bill Shatner. He killed his grandmother, is what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. So he pushed her into traffic and drove the bus that killed her.
Yeah, she was very slow. So he was able to board the bus, get behind the wheel, throw the bus driver from the bus, laugh. He had a good laugh. I watched him. And then he drove the bus very slowly, of course. You know how buses begin.
Was this like the 70s? Is this like...
This was the 70s.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
It was a different time. Yeah. This is more acceptable.
A lot of blue smoke in the streets. And
when you could just kill your grandmother and willy-nilly and nobody said...
Well, he was Bill. He was at the height of his fame, and no one was going to say anything. No one was going to tell him no. Except me. I told him no several times.
When he offered to kill your grandmother... How long did it take for you to turn him down?
Immediately. How dare you? How dare you ask that question? I love my grandmother.
Sulu loves
so
his
deeply,
grandma.
So very deeply. I had my grandmother attend some of the tapings of the show. Sometimes you'll hear some laugh tracks in the show. It's not meant for it. It's just my grandmother laughing. She sounds like a whole studio audience.
That is definitely a person I'd want to keep around.
Yeah,
I understand.
She would be invited to things like Growing Pains and other shows throughout the rest of the
other
year.
Other unfunny shows?
Other shows that would need some sort of studio audience laugh track. They would just hire my grandmother, who would go there.
So she did a lot of work on Full House.
She did, yes.
I would imagine she being was Asian-American, San Francisco, it just kind of makes sense, right?
She attended every episode of Full House. Actually, that show isn't funny at all, but the laugh track was inserted, and it's exclusively my grandmother laughing.
Well, the laugh track is the star of that show, if you ask me.
No, the star of that show is a little puppet.
Full House?
Yeah.
Who's the puppet? The woodchuck.
Yeah, that's the star of the show.
I believe he's speaking of the notorious Mr. Woodchuck.
Yeah, yes, yes.
The puppet that Uncle Joey... Oh, boy, do I love the show.
Well, I do too,
this
but...
This show is awful.
I don't refer to him as Joey or Dave Coulier, as he is known in the real world. He's Alanis Morissette's ex-boyfriend. That's what he is.
Is that how you refer to him?
Yeah, that's the only way I can talk. That's the way I feel he should be credited in shows. It's Alanis Morissette's ex-boyfriend.
I think next time you get the opportunity to host for him at Hilarities, because I don't know if you knew this, George. Jordan is angling to start working at Hilarities.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
What is Hilarities? I would love to know.
Well, you can...
It sounds hilarious.
It's a club in Cleveland.
You might say that. It's a club?
It's a club in Cleveland.
Okay.
They tell jokes there.
No.
And occasionally...
So this gentleman here is going to be telling jokes at this club.
Yeah, he is. But
this club trusts him to tell actual jokes there?
He's working on it.
I don't mean any offense.
No, by no means.
He doesn't have a trustworthy face, I understand.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
I've seen a lot of skinheads in my life, and I get worried.
Did you get scared when you walked in?
Little bit.
I mean, but hey, if you think about it, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not a skinhead, I'm not a racist, but...
Oh, good. You have to tell me if you are.
Well, you're Japanese, so it's like...
Yes,
if
I have to tell you if I am.
Well, if I was, you should have felt allied. He should be the one who's worried. Sheer.
I'm not worried about a Thai guy kicking my ass.
I feel like, if anything, the Star Trek television show can teach us that we should move past these superficial things like race and origin, and we should just be accepting of all people except for Bill Shatner.
Because he's the worst.
He's the worst human being that I have.
What are some other things he did? I mean, it seems like you do have a lot of hate towards this guy.
It's hard to open up about, but I mean, this is the point of your podcast, and I will indulge. One time I was coming onto set, and I was getting ready, trying to memorize my lines, and he came up and whispered into my ear. Sorry, I'm breaking up.
Oh, and I understand. It's tough.
He whispered, I killed your dog. Now, I didn't believe him.
After the cats?
This was after the cats.
Okay.
See,
wow.
They hadn't been discovered yet. So he whispers to me, I killed your dog. And I go, go away, Bill, as I always do, because he's just a disgusting man. But then he holds up the bloody furry lump that was my dog in front of me. And I began to weep.
That had to be
fortunately
tough.
The cameras were rolling, so we used it for the show,
and it was a great take, then?
Genuine take.
Okay,
wonderful.
Wow.
Take.
Wow.
It was one of my best performances.
I mean, did that ease the killing of
it
your
did,
dog?
It did. I did yeah, get a little... it. Yeah, I asked for a raise afterwards.
Got an Emmy nomination, probably.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right.
How many dogs has this man murdered?
Oh, I didn't ask him, but if I had to guess, probably 100,000.
It's a lot of dogs.
100,000 dogs. I wouldn't put it past him.
Well,
have you seen him walk around lately? He's very spry. He's a spry old man.
Yeah, well...
It's a damn shame. That's why I'm still alive. I'm trying to outlive him.
Okay, so Shatner's obviously fueled by the blood of domesticated animals.
I was going to say canine or feline.
Yeah, so what is driving you? What is keeping you alive?
The absolute disdain for Bill Shatner.
So you're actually
keeps
alive.
Keeps me going. I wake up and I have a framed picture of him and I smiling on set. And I think, oh, how untrue that is.
Okay, so can you delve into... All right, so that picture.
Yes.
All right, that picture. In that picture, when you guys are both smiling,
mm-hmm.
What are you saying to each? Like,
Well, we both have very toothy smiles.
Yeah,
and, so we're gritting our teeth, and he was saying to me, "Oh, I don't like your shirt." And I was like, "This is the shirt that the props people made for me." And then I was like, "I don't like your shirt." And he said, "This is the shirt that the props people made for me." So then we both just hated the props people. So we kind of moved on and just filmed the rest.
So there
of the
was
episode.
A little bit of unity there for a
little
second.
Bit, very briefly.
But he had killed your dog, so.
Yes.
What kind of dog was it?
I like that dog. It was a Yorkie. He was a Yorkie.
That dog deserved to die.
That's not nice. I mean, I agree, but it's not
Mr. Diablo, I believe that is your name.
Yes.
Who is this man?
Who
is this man that...
He's,
I've been following him around, like I said before.
Where do you follow him, is what I'm curious.
Usually to the bathroom.
Did you know about this?
I don't want to talk about it, all right?
Why don't you want to talk about it?
Look, I just, I don't like the way you look at me.
You should be begging me on your knees for advice for at least an autograph.
I mean...
At the very least.
I'm not a big autograph guy.
And you're not really a Trekkie, are you?
I mean, I was a big Star Trek fan.
Oh, okay, all right, so you were.
But
clearly, I was your favorite character.
Yeah, you've influenced my life in a lot of ways. Like, I try to live my life like a gay Asian actor. I think that really comes across.
If you ask me, it's the only way to live.
Yeah, I think it really comes across in some of my latest work.
You think it comes across in your latest work? Please tell me how.
Well, you know, I just think I really...
Do you have your own Bill Shatner to hate?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't really...
Yeah, it's me.
I haven't really tapped into, one specific person to base my hatred on that fuels my reason to live. I've tried to hate more people.
Let me tell you about something about Bill Shatner. One time we were on a location set. We were on a location shoot, and we had a room together. So he pulls out his suitcase, he puts it on the bed, and he says, "George, come over here." So I indulge, I come over, I roll my eyes at him, and I say, What do you want, Bill?" And he opens his suitcase, and he pulls out a dress that my mother wore when she was on her honeymoon with my father. And he says, "Do you recognize this?" And I say, "Of course I do. I love my mother very much. Why do you have this dress?" And he said, "This is my dress." And then he put it on in front of me, and he said, "Call me mother for the rest of the shoot." What a disgusting man.
Did he?
I did it though. I had to call him that because we had to get the shoot done.
Were you contractually obligated?
I was. It was written in my contract. Okay. It was like you must do whatever Bill says while you're in the room together.
Oh, that's
I
awful.
Did. I do. That's why I read everything very thoroughly. That's why I learned to read so fast.
One page a second.
Exactly. Right. Page okay. a second.
Yep. So did you have to suckle at Bill?
No, of course not. He didn't do anything disgusting like that. Is that something you've had to do in your past, Jeremy?
You know, I did breastfeed at one point from a man that I paid for, but that's besides the point.
Well, I mean, I've done that.
Wait.
I'm not unfamiliar with this. But I was not sexually attracted to Bill in any way whatsoever.
I wouldn't be either. He was a good-looking man.
He was a handsome man until you met him.
But just not handsome on the inside.
Absolute monster.
Okay. He's a rocket man.
One could say that, yes. More like a spaceship man, of course.
Okay. Was he better was he better at space combat or combat?
Space combat.
He was better at
yes,
that?
Yeah, okay. He wasn't very good at regular combat. I challenged him to a duel one time, and I pulled a gun on him, like a flintlock pistol.
Are you a taekwondo expert?
No, absolutely not. I know fencing, just like my character Sulu in the show, and then I know how to handle a flintlock pistol. I've never touched any other firearm in my life because they frighten me. So I brandish my pistol. I challenge him to a duel. And this was over the last donut that was on set.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. Was it a jelly? Was it a glazed?
It was glazed. It was chocolate glazed.
Oh, okay.
My favorite.
Okay. Oh.
Absolutely delicious.
So you wanted it?
I wanted it so badly. And Bill, thinking he owns the set, comes up, grabs it, laughs, and as he walks away... about to take a bite, That's when I brandished my pistol and I challenged him to a duel. And he ran away screaming, drop the donut. And I actually won that day.
Did you pick up the donut and eat it?
I did, yes.
Okay, and why... All right, let me ask you a question. You seem like an honorable man.
Oh, of course.
But why didn't you shoot him in the back? If you hated him so much...
Oh, I can't do that. No? I can't shoot a man in the back. No,
okay,
no.
Okay, all right.
And besides, I'd be out of a job. It's not like they were going to make me captain after that. No,
what
of course not.
If you had shot him in, like, the small, the back, and paralyzed him? Do you think they could have continued the show with Bill Shatner in a wheelchair?
Now, I don't think you know how accurate flintlock pistols are, but they're awful. Mm. Yeah, I'd have to be pressing up against his spinal cord in order to do that, and unfortunately, I was not that close. But would they continue the show with him in a wheelchair? I'm sure of it.
Well, he could have just sat in the captain's chair the whole time.
The whole time.
And not gone on the adventures.
Yeah, it's almost like he did that all the time anyway. Most of the time. Actually, if you want to know a little secret about Star Trek, all the sequences of him out of the chair are just a stunt double with his face.
They just
put prosthetics on. They had really good CG.
I was
going to
say, they made, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't believe it. They just kept it under wraps.
Okay, wow.
It must have been difficult to be paid less than a guy that sits in a chair all day.
It was awful. It was awful. He would just sit in the chair all day. I was doing all the acting. I have such prestigious training from the stage, and yet he got the highest paycheck.
Were you trained at the Chinese opera?
I was not trained at the Chinese opera.
Oh, okay.
Jeremy.
Sorry. What?
He's not Chinese, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's Japanese.
Okay. Right. Sorry. Please continue.
Were you trained at the Japanese opera?
Oh.
I was indeed trained at the Japanese opera.
Okay, see, I just wanted to clear
the
these things up.
The famous Japanese opera that trained such notable performers as George Takei.
And Hattori Hanzo.
And George Takei. So after, later when Bill and I were contracted to film The Wrath of Khan. I believe you remember this film, The Wrath
Familiar
of Khan.
Familiar with, yes.
With the other absolutely wonderful, talented actors. We were on set, and he comes up to me with the script, and he says, we have a very difficult scene upcoming. I need your help with it. So he invites me back to his dressing room, and I come in there, and balloons drop from the ceiling, and there's a cake brought to me, and it says, I'm sorry, I murdered your parents. Here's a cake. Is this better?
Wow. So,
that must have been a pretty big cake.
It was an enormous cake. It was delicious, actually. I ate the whole thing.
So you weren't even really mad at
him. I was furious.
Oh, okay. But the cake made it a little better?
The cake didn't make it better, but it was a delicious cake, and it would have been a shame to waste cake.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm a big proponent on not wasting cake.
Yes.
I would never waste a cake.
Do you often feel that you eat that much when you're angry?
I do. I went through a very fat phase at one point. I was worried about my weight, and I gained nearly 300 pounds, but I lost it almost within days because we had another shoot.
Did you do sumo wrestling at that time?
I did, yes. Okay. I competed in sumo wrestling. I was quite good, actually. I thought I was going to quit the show and just pursue sumo wrestling. But the call of the stage, it just brought me back.
I heard he got an offer from Vince McMahon, but he didn't take it because...
I did,
it was
yes.
Sulu Nation is what they wanted to call him, and he just wasn't having it.
Yeah, they had a problem with the name.
I mean, you know, you got to take the name that they give you sometimes.
Right, if you want to, you know, be on the big show.
Yeah, but, you know, the stage is sometimes more important
than... I agree.
And grappling. Would you have been able to handle yourself if you were oiled up and thrown into a ring?
Well, you did see me oiled up for that space combat, with that fencing combat.
Yeah, but this would be a little different, you know.
Well, I haven't oiled myself in about 20 minutes, but I do recall last time I did, I took a long look at the mirror and the young man standing next to me, and I said, "Damn, do I look good?" So I think I'd be able to manage it.
All right, so Should we look for you to be attending more wrestling events so you can kind of learn the craft, or do you just like to jump right into it?
I just like to just venture on into new avenues. I don't really like to do a lot of research. I think I like to be myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand that.
I've lived a long life. I think if I was going to get into wrestling professionally, I feel like I would just be like riding a bike, be like getting back on stage and performing for hundreds of eyes.
So how many people does it take to manage your social media presence?
Well, a lot of it I do through my nephew, who is a very nice young man. He takes care of most of my social media presence. The other is a team of tiny cats that I it's from a shelter that I named the Bill Shatner Cat Shelter to rectify all of his wrongdoings in the past, and he. So it's Bill. It's named after him, but it's not in honor of him. It's just to ruin his awful.
So it's like the opposite of a Confederate statue. Exactly. Exactly. Right, I like where you're going with that.
I'm trying to reclaim his awfulness. So I have the cats then vote on what I say on social media.
So like if so many cats go meow, it's oh my.
Yeah. Oh my. Thank you for bringing it up. Yeah. That is something that was dictated by cats, yes, originally. They gave me the idea for that catchphrase. Man. They called it a cat phrase.
It's unfortunate that didn't catch on, or would it be cat on?
It would be catch on.
It didn't cat on.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's good to see you have a sense of humor, though, about all. I mean, after all these years of hating Bill, it seems like that you've really got a great grip on life.
Well, I've always had a very positive attitude. I always thought about getting into comedy after going through Star Trek. We've had our comedy moments, but I always thought about venturing into other avenues of entertainment. But after Bill tried to break me down, but he couldn't. He couldn't do it.
So, all right, you got Bill's delivery, right? Like, his delivery is unmistakable.
Oh,
but
yes.
Your voice is unmistakable. Why haven't you done a solo record? Or a Sulu record, if you will.
Well, I see where you went with that. Solo record, do you mean singing?
Singing or, you know, spoken word? Or
Well, I have traveled the world and done some spoken word intros for some orchestral performances of sci-fi music.
Okay.
Usually sometimes they've gone to, I've done some live readings for some Comic-Con panels and stuff, and that is always a pleasant time. I get to see the wonderful faces, and I get to be very far away from Bill Shatner and get to absorb all the glory for myself in these situations. I do love doing that, yes.
So are you nice to his face these days still, or is there animosity?
For the cameras, yes, we remain
you
civil.
You butter it up, like your civil, chest.
Yes, like my chest. thank you for bringing this butter here, by the way. I'm definitely going to put this to use later.
We wanted you to feel comfortable.
Thank you.
You're welcome, yes. Sizzle Chest.
I'm so excited. Sizzle Chest is actually a name that Bill called me, so I resent that. Thank you very much, Jeremy Shear. When we meet in private, it's very, very tense. It's
all
much
right.
More tense. Anytime we need to have a joint dressing room, he puts on the old dress, asks me to call him mother, and I don't indulge anymore. We're not contractually obligated, but I think he just has some sort of brain problem.
Yeah, okay,
Someone should put him down.
Yeah, anybody who talks like that has as you said, a brain
anyone
problem.
Anyone who speaks the cadence.
Has a brain problem.
Yeah, definitely has a brain problem. That is surely just needs to be put to rest.
I agree.
So, I think perhaps space combat will put him finally to rest.
I hope that you get to do that, because if you said, well, are you more proficient in combat or space combat? I know he is more proficient in space combat.
I am more proficient in theater.
Oh, than okay. He. Well, that makes sense.
So I imagine if I could act him to death, I would love to do that.
Oh, that would be...
If you could set up some sort of situation where I could act him to the grave, oh boy, would I be on board.
So, have you ever taken any measure of vengeance against William Shatner?
Of course not. Not even the time in the '80s. Not even that rumor.
Okay.
I'm sure. Right. Surely you must have heard of it.
Yeah, there was a rumor in the '80s that you took a shit in Bill Shatner's backyard.
How dare you? How dare you tell this?
Then spelled out his name.
The alleged crime was that I spelled out Die Shatner Die with feces, supposedly my own, in his backyard, large enough to be seen from space. Now, I don't know if you understand how much feces this would be.
That's a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would need to eat several tons of food to create that much feces.
So there's
You did gain 300 pounds in a short amount of time. So, you know, it's very believable that you could have pulled this off yourself.
And if I had, would you blame me?
I wouldn't blame you.
I mean, the smile he has on his face right now, Shear, he's not going to ever say he did it, but I hope that he did.
I am writing a book. I'm writing a book.
Is it a tell-all?
It's a tell-all.
Or is it a tell-some?
It's going to be tell-all, because I'm going to force you to read it. If you read as fast as me, it won't take very long.
No, like what, 300 seconds? Yeah, what's that, like 6 minutes or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that?
Do you have time to read my manifesto before you go?
Sure, hand it to me.
All right, here you go.
Oh my God, this is disgusting. Get this away from me, you filthy animal.
It's a one-page manifesto.
It was like 3 or 4 pages.
It was 4 pages. When did you find time to write this? This writing is worse than some of the writing I've gotten from Bill.
Yeah, well...
He actually came up to me and he said, I want you to review some scripts of mine. And it was just pictures of my children playing in the playground. I was very frightened. These children I adopted.
Was it artfully shot, at least?
It was. It was actually very well shot. I complimented him first. I said, wow, Bill, this composition is spectacular. How did you get such good lighting? And he said what time of day he took it and what park it was. I said, I know the park because I took my adopted children there to play and have a good time. And you apparently were there taking photographs of them. Why? And he said, because I just like that good. The park had nice aesthetics. I didn't believe him. I was very frightened.
But
I was afraid he was going to stuff my children in the walls of my home.
That's
fortunately, that didn't happen.
I'm glad it didn't happen.
At least not too. By Bill.
But I think what we've learned today about William Shatner is that he is very skilled at being a complete shitbag.
He's extremely sneaky, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Frightened.
Well, you don't have to be frightened of Bill Shatner for much longer. He's going to die soon.
Oh, good. Wait, is this something you have planned?
You obviously skimmed over part of the manifesto.
I did. I'm going to mention it, of course.
Yeah, well.
Most of it is disgusting rubbish.
Well, I feel that we're all, like, I'm happy about this. We're all in cahoots here. Like, it seems like we all got along real well. And I'm happy
I would
about
say I've gotten along much better with you, Mr. El Hordado, than I have with this gentleman over here, this Jeremy Shear fellow.
Well, you know, I'm not going to take the cuffs off now.
Well, I mean... Were we going to do that anyway? I thought he was going to stay for pizza.
Let me out of here. I'm trapped in this cage.
Turn off his mic.
Where am I going?
No. All right.
How do I get out of this place?
Well,
I need a tall glass of milk.
Just like after every show.
I read his manifesto. I must have my tall glass
of milk. Where is my milk? All right.
Go get him some milk.
I'll go get him some milk.
I want to speak to my adopted children.
All right. I'll make sure to get them on the horn for you. Before we get them on the horn, shout out to Mike Calhoun of the Unbelievables for recording us today. Thank you very much. We're normally Milky Way recordings, but
shit happens.
We're off this
week. Milky Way. The galaxy.
Space combat.
Space. The final frontier.
All right.
Yeah, you could have done that, too. That's pretty good.
I just did, Mr. Shear.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Also, shout out to Sam Holmes, who did our logo. You can find her on the Instagrams, @Sam_Holmes. That's Holmes like you live in, not Holmes like you hang with. And thank you to our sponsors, Chad Weaver, @WeaverChad, Chris Clem, @Chris_Clem, Jess Fallstick, @EpicFall on the Twitter, And Britt Fox, who is XFoxRocks on Instagram and Snapchat. And, of course, Plight of the Stripper Herder, which you can find at plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com, is the chronicle of a strip club industry vet giving you the horrible things that happen in strip clubs, as well as some tips to have
herpes and AIDS.
Well, there may be some herpes and AIDS sprinkled in for flavor.
Sprinkled in.
I assure you, it's much more than herpes and AIDS.
Sure, what do we got coming up, though?
September 9th, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Live recording of Let the Hate Flow Through You at Shakespeare's Lower Level, Doors of Seven, Show at 8. It's $5. We're going to be live recording two episodes. And then after smoke break, Sad Boys Social Club will be performing their sketch comedy video extravaganza.
Yep.
We got some Kalamazoo guests coming on. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're listening up in the state of Michigan, and I know you are.
Which they are, because we talked about it last week on last week's episode. You guys beat Cleveland a million times in the last, what do we say, 6 weeks? Yeah. And then they smoked Cleveland this week.
Yeah, so it's just what it is. I know you're out there. Come see us. Come hang out. We'll have posters for the show and T-shirts for Let the Hate Flow Through. You'll be done. We have Sad Boy shirts.
Sad Boy shirts. Cheryl will have his shirts. There's going to be lots of cool merch. It's going to be fun. We'll cut people deals. Not really. But buy me beers. And get sheer high after the show.
Yeah, way after the show.
Let me out of this room. You there.
The sedative didn't
you there,
work.
Let me out of this room.
Well, we're going to have to go get more sedatives. But, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody
smoke?
That hates William Shatner as much as George Takei.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniels is drunk in me. This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Get down to the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio to catch Jess Falstick. Host a lineup of regional and national comedians guaranteed to make you giggle. No charge to get in for that seat, but you'll only need the edge.
That's Jess Falstick.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.